We're on a nighttime safari with Chris Skinner on High Ash Farm. It's about 8:30 in the evening, and we're ranging. Oh, there's a bird going
up
there.
Skylark.
Skylark. We're ranging across Chris's fields here on High Ash Farm and seeing what's up and about when we're in front of the telly of an evening.
We're lucky because the heavy rains we had a few weeks ago have all soaked in, and the ground's dry enough to drive on. Now, I only do this once a year. This little bit track's a bit bumpy. As we head away to the farm.
What do we have here? Rabbits?
Two rabbits in front. So,
rabbits in the headlamps.
That's our first mammals of the evening.
Eyes shining brightly.
Yes.
They just about have the sense to get out of the way.
Yes, they're pretty good. Yes, so anything we see is a bonus. I did expect to see rabbits. And we've got teasels in front of us here, just leaving the farm behind us. And it should be dry enough, but first of all, four-wheel drive in, should kick in, and this is a standing crop of overwinter wildbed seed mix, cereals mixed in there, and we're just driving out into the field now.
These fields have become very familiar to me over the years during the day, but at night, so different.
There, what have we got? There we are, right in front, our first hare. Well spotted. I think you can do this by yourself. You're getting excellent at spotting the wildlife.
Where's the shape?
That's lovely. Absolutely beautiful.
And I think you've told me before, rabbits by the margins, but hares in the middle.
Yes, that's right.
That hare is in the middle of this field.
That's hares out in the middle. What did we have there? No, that's just some stubble sticking up there. We'll head back into the standing crop now.
How is your hare population?
It's fantastic. Really, really good. This area of overwinter wildbed seed mix is where they spend the daylight hours. They can hunker down in here, and very good cover for them. And already the female hares, the does, will be giving birth to the first leverets of the year. So this crop's quite tall, as you can see. So what I was hoping for was to see the deer out here. It's quite a large field with sort of zigzagging across it. There's a hare right in front, Matthew.
Oh, well, with his ears down and now bounding off to the right.
Lovely. That's about as close as you'll ever get to a hare, that one.
They're quite large, actually, aren't they?
They certainly are. It always surprises people. Buck hares are even larger than the does. Woodcock, just then.
I saw something flying up.
Fly, definitely a woodcock. Wow. and this is ideal habitat for. There's another one.
Oh,
just came out.
Yes.
And immediately, once this part of the crop's a little bit lower down, so we've got a better chance of seeing some deer here. It's what we call brackled over. But I have got to be careful because there's one or two springs on this field. Not the ones that the car suspension's on, but water rises up out of the ground because it's quite hilly. And there we are, our first deer.
Two.
About 50 yards in front of me. Chinese water deer. Big tusks coming out of the top jaw. We might get a bit closer. Not trying to drive quickly to scare them. We're doing 5 miles an hour. So nice and slow. But like all the deer species, they're very adept at legging it and disappearing. We call the roe deer, the resident deer here at the farm, we call them fairies of the woodland. But that was lovely to see those, a pair of them. Hopefully we'll get a better view of them when we visit some of the other fields. I hadn't realised this is so tall. It's very nearly shoulder high.
There's a bird flying up.
Was there?
Might have been another woodcock.
Yes. Because of the water table here, the way in parts of the field the water rises up, it's absolutely ideal for the woodcock to feed. They get down in there and their main food is worms at this time of the year, and so it's easy feeding. That is another woodcock gone up. Wow. And this is what happens in cold weather. The woodcock come across from Western Europe, and because they're probing birds, they've got very long beaks indeed. They're safe once they get to The 1st of February, then the shooting season for them finishes. So the ones that are here now, hopefully some will stay and breed. They're a breeding species, but many, many come in from the near continent. And one of the feathers in my cap, if you like, is to stop the shooting of them on the foreshore. I worked in with Suffolk police and alerted them to the fact that woodcock were being shot as they flew in on migration, and birds were actually landing in the sea, and Suffolk police took over and managed to stop that happening. So really pleased about that. It's now become a red list species, funny enough, although it's still shot. Matthew, the tall plants you can see sticking out at the top of the crop is a special here. It's one I did battle with through my another woodcock.
Oh, great view of one there.
Yeah, just that bar on the breast.
Vertical takeoff.
And perfect camouflage as well. Scolopax rusticula, a part of the scientific name, rusticula. Rusty colour, if you like. Just lovely view of one then. So the tall plant that we're driving through, you can hear it going underneath the truck, is fat hen. And it was a real problem. But now I'm harvesting some seed and sowing it. My father would pull his hair out if he knew what I was doing, because he had huge problems with it. He was an early sugar beet grower in the early part of the 1900s, supplying the local sugar beet factory, Cantley. And fat hen was a real problem because it would wrap round the knives of the harvester and stop it working properly. And so there's a bit of a problem.
But fat hen's also a good food source.
It's a brilliant food source. Absolutely fantastic. The little black seeds, pheasants absolutely love it. So does many of the small species of birds. This is a fallow plot. It looks exactly like a very large lawn. That's 3 hectares there in front of us. Beautiful. What have we got there?
Is there something?
Something else. That can be just a stone. And something is in front of us out there. Let's have a little look.
Something with ears. Is it a rabbit?
Is that going to be a rabbit? Possibly. It's staying stock still. So, yes, it's a rabbit. It's quite well out in the field and it's grazing on this nutritious young grass. We'll leave him. He's hunkered down. And we'll leave him undisturbed. So get back just in the margin. And there's a Chinese water deer.
Very close view of one.
Only about 20 yards away. That's a female. She hasn't got those. And another, and a hare in right in front of us.
Going low through the undergrowth.
Yes, yes. It's just enough cover to keep them so we can't get very good view of them. But the Chinese water deer was a female. She didn't have those tusks coming out of the upper jaw. We've actually got more Chinese water deer per square mile in East Anglia now, particularly in the Broadland region, than they have in their native territory, which is China, in the river valleys there, and in Korea as another home for them. But so much human pressure on their habitat that we've now got more Chinese water deer per square mile in East Anglia than they have per square mile in China. So there we are. Right, just onto one of the tracks now. And I'm keeping my eye out for owls the whole time. It's always interesting to see if we can see a barn owl, little owl. Tawnies are about as well this time of night. This is a wild flower field and it's just been grazed off by the sheep. Lots of sainfoin out here. A favourite with the deer's lucerne, and that's just beginning to grow, but nothing on here. I'm not really surprised, because just 2 weeks ago there was an electric fence around there to keep sheep in, and if any hares walk up to the fence or the deer, they get quite a shock, so they tend to avoid the fields that the sheep have grazed on, because they learn pretty quickly. That's not very pleasant, having a few thousand volts on a very damp nose, so they tend to avoid this area. Good. Right, now we're now heading out of this part of Caister, and in a moment or two we're going to cross the stream here, which takes us into the next village, Stokehody Cross, large area of woodland in front of us there. And across the stream,
you can see why in centuries past, as we approach the woodland here, it was a source of stories and folk tales,
yes,
wasn't it? Mystery and,
oh,
and superstition.
Absolutely. And my children name that little bit of woodland. There's a lot of conifers in it. And they found it very spooky. And today, if I mention this portion of the farm, all three children know exactly where it is. It's called the Dark Corner. So that's really appropriate for it. So we're now on to a hayfield. We're in Stoke Holy Cross, the parish of Stoke. And we're just looking at the first bit. Oh, here we are.
Oh, some ears.
Two hares right in front of us.
Would that be male and female, do you think?
That's a high chance. Very difficult to tell the sexes. They do look very alike, particularly at night. They're only, what, 20 yards in front of us, not at all perturbed by us, and they're out again grazing on this nutritious grass. They're just lolloping along. Oh, in front, something else caught my mind. Another hare. So we've got three. And look in front. Oh. Matthew, on that oak tree in the ivy.
Owl.
I do believe, I think, fingers crossed.
It's the right shape.
Oh, it's the right shape.
It's glowing, isn't it?
White.
About 15 feet up.
I'm just going.
It's got a perching post on that tree.
Wow. I did not expect. I hoped we might see one. Let's have a look.
Oh, it's magnificent.
Focus the binoculars. And there is a male barn owl. Can I pass the glasses to you?
Yeah.
Look at that. It's 30 yards away from us. Absolutely beautiful.
Oh, you can see the disc.
Yes, the facial feathers. Disc.
It's a nice dry night currently, isn't
yes,
it? So that's perfect for it.
It's downwind. It's a pure accident. I mean, you can't plan seeing this, but to see one within 15 minutes of us starting our nighttime safari, I've crept up a little bit closer. There we are. That's 20 yards now.
Barn owl.
Oh.
How exciting.
That is more than exciting. That's a red letter day.
Fabulous.
I think just put this on, see if we can gently focus that torch on it. There you are. It's looking at us. There. Facial disc. Hooked beak.
I can see the eyes now.
You can see the eyes. They will reflect. If it looks straight at us, it can reflect the light of this little spotlight I put on it. And it's been very obliging, so I'll turn this light back off. That is the best view of a barn owl out in the countryside that you could possibly ask for. All these margins are tusky grass, so there's a very high... This trouble with nature and falling in love with nature. I love all the harvest mice, the field voles, the long-tailed field mice that are here. And that's supper, breakfast and dinner for that barn owl. And I've got two boxes up this avenue of oak trees. So well done, Stoke Holy Cross. You're going to have a little round of applause. That is an incredible sight.
Well, four hares, those deer, and a barn owl all within a few yards.
Yes, all within, what, 10, 15 minutes. I'm going to leave that one in peace. Oh, God, it's not a stuffed one, I promise you.
He put it out there earlier. Yes, his friend the taxidermist.
No, goodness.
No, he was moving, I can testify to
yes.
that.
Yes, oh, you're so spoiled. That is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, whoever said the winter months were slow? Oh, well, I hope you enjoyed a ride with Chris and Matthew. They'll be along next month on Chatterbox, but in the meantime, you'd be very welcome to listen to each podcast episode in full at www.countrysidepodcast.co.uk.